This is a long reading today. It's all of chapter 2 in Daniel. I found it to be a very interesting and exciting story, and I hope that you find it to be as well. As you remember from last week, Daniel and his three friends had been dragged out of their homeland, Judah, and put into chains and taken away to Babylon, taken away from all that they knew. This is Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time here, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and therefore before you stood, you looked, O king, and therefore before you stood a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands. He has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you rule over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron and the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court.
I wonder how many of us actually really focused in on what was said in that text, because we are in a society that is so multitask oriented and so multivisual and so much is going on and we're thinking of 6,000 things at the same time. And I wonder why it's so hard to really focus in on the scriptures when they're read. I'm not saying any that you weren't, but I'm just saying I think a lot of times our minds wander, don't they? How many things did you think about while the scriptures were just read? So don't raise your hands. They're like, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. I thank you for Daniel's incredible faith. And Lord, I thank you for his friends. And I thank you for what you did and how you used him. And Lord, you are such an amazing God. Father, the scriptures aren't a bunch of fables and fairy tales, as some would say. But God, they are the living, breathing word of God. And we are so grateful and thankful that we're able to read them and we're able to talk about them. And Lord, as I share from your scriptures, Lord, I ask God that you'll allow us to understand you more deeply. May your spirit fall upon us right now and give us clarity in our minds and in our hearts. Amen. Have you ever faced an impossible challenge which seemed like there's no answer? There's no way you can ever have an answer. It's unreasonable. It's an unreasonable demand. It just doesn't make sense. There's no way you can answer the question. There's no way you can understand what's going on in your life. I think every person sitting in here has had something like that take place in their own life. And you've asked that question. And you've wondered why. And then it was so crazy to try to figure out the answer. Daniel found himself in a predicament. He found himself in a place in which he was about to die. He was about to get executed. Because he was one of the wise men. You see, there was this unreasonable demand. And this unreasonable demand we find in verses 1 through 13. As king of the greatest world power in that time period, Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't say if he remembered the dream or if he didn't remember the dream. It doesn't give us clarity in that. But he gave this unreasonable demand that was so unreasonable that it just didn't make sense to any of the magicians, the seers, all these different people that were trying to figure things out. Because these people that Nebuchadnezzar had around him were his yes men. They wanted to please him. So they were trying to get hints and they said, there's no way that we can ever interpret this. Just share the dream and then we'll interpret it for you. We just need to know what the dream is. Daniel came to this place where he was faced with the reality of an unanswer in a situation where there was no real answer. There was no real clarity to what he was going to try to figure out. And all of us have had that happen in our lives. Nebuchadnezzar, he may have known about the dream, he may not have, but what we do know is that he didn't want to share what he did know. He may have awoken, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you just wake up scared, and you can't remember what just happened. Maybe that's never happened to you. It has. And you don't even remember the dream, you don't remember anything. That could have happened. It could have been he remembered the dream in its entirety, and he wanted to see if any of these guys ever claiming to be magicians and these people that just knew so much. He wanted to see if they actually could figure this out. But without knowing the dream, it seemed impossible. And they all laid out that it's impossible. Not even the greatest of kings has ever asked this of anybody. No one's ever asked this of anybody. How can anybody ever comprehend how to get an answer to that? Because they based all of their trust in a visual God, in a God they could see, that they could carry with them, in these little gods. And I shared some of the gods with you last week about who the gods were and how these men from Judah were renamed after some of these gods. They had Elohim and Yahweh, yet they tagged on a different name. Yet they didn't lose sight and focus about their real name. It didn't matter what anybody called them. It didn't matter what anybody said. They knew who they were. In our society today, we talk about self-esteem, self-image a lot, don't we? They knew what their life was all about, and they knew where they were going, and they knew who was the foundation and the base of their existence. And they knew this was a big challenge, but they also realized that God could do immeasurably more than they could ever hope for or desire or ask for, or they just knew that God could do more. And I wonder if we know that. I wonder if we actually know that. The second thing is, wise inquiries are voiced. And that's in verses 14 through 18. He investigated the problem with wisdom and tact. That is one of my favorite lines in this text, when he talks about how he investigated it with wisdom and tact. He asked questions with wisdom and tact, how he approached things with wisdom. Wisdom is critical. If we approach life and desire wisdom first and foremost, who do you know in the scriptures that desired wisdom? When he was asked, you know, what is it that you desire? Said, wisdom. Someone said, Solomon. Yeah. And God said, well, since you asked for wisdom and not a long life and not wealth and beyond wealth, I'm going to bless you with a long life. I'm going to bless you with wealth. Stay faithful to me. Well, Daniel, he was young, but he used wisdom and tact in some pretty profound ways. Verse 14. The commander of the king's guard had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. If you don't know what's going on here, when the king said, kill them, it meant kill them. It meant they will die. It was a death warrant. They were going to die. Because whatever the king said, that's what was to be done. And if it wasn't done, it meant you would die as well. So these were pretty significant things. It wasn't just like, hey, why don't you go tell them that they need to really rethink this. It was, no, they're going to die. If they don't tell me this, if they don't interpret this dream, they don't tell me about the dream, then interpret it, they're going to die. And all of us sitting here are going, that is so messed up. How could that ever happen? Why would he ever do that? Yet, even in the Third Reich, how about the Third Reich? We saw horrible, horrible tragedy take place. Over in Africa, we see horrible, horrible tragedies take place in the child slave trade. All over the world, actually, it's happening in the United States, and we don't even think about it or recognize it or know about it. The slave trade is happening right in the United States, right under our noses. And a lot of us just blow it off like it doesn't exist. This stuff is happening in our generation. And the reality is, the scriptures say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same God that can do the same stuff and the most amazing things that took place in the scriptures at the time of Daniel, at the time of all of these amazing men and women of faith that walked before us and journeyed on before us and honored God before us and lived lives of purity and holiness and joy and hope. And they lived before us and they lived lives that, yeah, they had to make sacrifices, but they were willing to make the sacrifices in order to be people that were filled with the power of joy and hope. So, wisdom intact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. Arioch did not need to explain the matter to Daniel. He didn't even need to talk to Daniel. All he needed to do was grab Daniel and kill Daniel. God was leading Daniel in his conversation, in his dialogue, because he was a man of prayer. He prayed and prayed and prayed and sought after God. And when he spoke, people knew that he was a man that was following after God. And they knew he was different. And they wanted to talk to him. And they wanted to communicate with him. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time. Daniel went into the king and asked for time. The king had just said, kill all of them. If they don't know, kill them. And I'm not going to mess around anymore because they're playing games with me. Have you ever come across somebody that was playing games with you? They were like just playing mind games with you. And maybe it was someone you dated. Why are they playing mind games, man? This is wrong in so many ways. But it could have been a best friend. It could have been whomever it may have been for you. You probably have somebody in your mind. And you're like, man, I don't want him in my mind anymore. Why did this guy make me think of him? Well, look at what this says in verse 17. Then Daniel returned to his house. All right? He returned to his house. The king let him return to his house. He had just said, go round them all up and we're going to kill them. He let him return to his house. But not just that. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were his friends. And explained the matter to his friends. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He explained it to his friends what was going on. And what do his friends say? They don't go, oh man, we're in so much trouble. Oh man, what are we going to do? Most of us would probably do that, right? All right, we don't want to admit it. Most of us would probably do that. We would probably panic and say, what are we going to do? He already has the death warrant upon our lives. It's on our head. Our heads, what are we going to do? No. The Spirit kept him calm, kept him focused, allowed him to realize where their base was. These four young guys, they realized they had a base that was completely different than what the world had and the Babylonian people had. Because if you remember from chapter 1, they were more 10 times wiser than any of the magicians or seers or mystics. They were 10 times wiser. They were calm. They were steadfast in their faith. And this is what they did. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, whoa! How would you like this to be you? Imagine being Daniel. Imagine being Hananiah. Imagine being Mishael. Imagine. Just imagine what it would be like be Azariah. God revealed in a vision to Daniel because he prayed. Do we take prayer that seriously? Do we take prayer this seriously? I wonder. So when Daniel heard the edict, he spoke to the commander of the guard. That's the first thing he did. So under wise inquiries. He spoke to the guard. He spoke to his friends. He didn't waste any time. He didn't have a pity party. Oh, man, what am I going to do? This is crazy. No, he said, I'm going to speak to my friends because I can trust these friends. Do you have brothers and sisters in the faith that are on the journey with you that you can trust? One of the worst things that happens in our North American Christian culture is we do not have brothers and sisters in the faith that are close, that we can call on, that we can connect with, and that we can say, I need prayer. You need to pray with me. I really need to get together and pray with you today. We don't have that because we're all about us. We're all about what I can do, where I can go, what I can achieve, what I can accomplish. When God's going, no, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about what God can do in and through us and how he can move in our lives and in our community, our faith community, but our community as a whole in all of Chatham and Harwich and all the surrounding towns. And then off the Cape and in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and all in New England and then in the United States and then all the world. It's not about what he's only doing with me. Because we make North American Christianity point right back at us when it needs to be embracing everybody else. And we need to get in this together, and we need to be unified because the unity of the Spirit is absolutely critical to our faith. And we blow it off like nobody's business, and we see this incredible bond that these men have, and they pray, and they fast together, and they seek God, and they don't mess around because they want to stay focused on what's really at hand. Because, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Lord, we want to see your kingdom come here. Use us, God. Allow us to be people that live our lives in the beauty of you, God. Not in the beauty of me, or me, or me, or me, or me. So he spoke to his friends, and then they fervently pursued God. Yeah. They fervently pursued God. So here's all of them. Here's all of them right here. When Daniel heard the edict, he spoke to the commander of the guard. He spoke to his friends. They fervently pursued God. They didn't just say one little prayer, Lord, please help us. They were all about pursuing God. They were after God's answer, not their own human answer. They were after a divine, supernatural, spiritual answer. I wonder in our prayer life, is that really what we're after? Or are we after what we can get from our prayer life? Because we look at God as a cosmic sugar daddy that will give us anything we want. Oh, Lord, I want a car. You give me a car. And the only time we pray to him, oh, Lord, I want a house. Give me a house. Oh, Lord, I need those $200 shoes. And Lord, I don't have money for rent, but man, I really need those shoes. YOLO. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You only live once. You're going to see that in our newsletter article this upcoming month. I talk about YOLO. Only live once. Daniel. I'm going to challenge some of the people that are at Bible study because I challenge you to memorize these names. What do you got? Daniel's the first one. Who are the next three? Hananiah. Michelle. Azariah. Yeah. See, you should come to Bible study. They know their stuff. That's good. Wednesday night, 6:30. Oh, is that an advertisement? Godly success is given in verses 19 through 28. Godly success is given. They were faithful. They did everything they were supposed to do in the most dire, horrendous situation. When we find ourselves in life in the most dire, horrendous, confusing, ridiculous situation that we just don't get, we just can't comprehend what's going on in our life. We got to use this example. We got to drop to our knees. I hear people say, Lord, I find myself on my knees. And they just talk about it. No, find yourself on your knees, on your face, on the floor, laying. What does it say happen? What was it? What is the word?
Prostrate.
Not the other word. I heard someone say that. Flat. Still. Be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you found yourself laying flat on the floor calling out to God? Well, not if you fell or something and hurt your hip or something. I don't know. I fell and hurt my knee once and I was laying on the floor for a little while. Stacy laughed at me. I was like, have some sympathy on this man. I was laughing at myself, but anyway. God wants us as people that are trying to figure this life out, trying to figure this faith out. He wants us to move progressively forward toward Him. And you may be on the very, very beginning stages of the journey. You may think you're really far along. And you may be like, I'm on the latter stages of the journey. I want you to say, if you have that pride, if that's in you, and you think that you've arrived, wake up. Because you know what? There's this key critical word that's found all over the scriptures. It's called disciple. And if you don't know what disciple means, it means learner. So we've got to constantly be learning. Daniel and his buddies were constantly learning their entire lives. We see it in the scriptures. And something fascinating about Daniel, there is not one time mentioned in the scriptures, and he's the only one we can find mentioned of major biblical character, that there is no sin issue involved. Joseph may be another one. There's been arguments for Joseph, but it seems like he had some pride issues with his multicolored jacket when he got tossed in the pit by his brothers. That's another story for another time. We can say this. Another way to talk about Daniel chapter 2, you may want to write this down if you have a pen. I think this will help you gain perspective on chapter 2. All right, here we go. Ready? There was a problem. There was prayer. There was praise. There was proclamation. There was promotion. Problem. Ready? We can take this in our own life. Problem, prayer, praise, proclamation, promotion. And you may not receive a promotion in this life, but let me tell you, if you follow those first four, you're going to get a promotion in the next life. I'm sorry, I said next life. You may take that as reincarnation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in it as far as eternal life goes. Okay? You got that? There was a problem. When you face a problem, what is your first response? Someone said, fix it. I can fix it. When we have a real life problem, Lord, here I am. I'm a mess. My life's a mess. God, you can do things. You can work things. You can move in power. And you can do some beautiful things. You can create from these ashes, you can create beauty. You can bring beauty from ashes. There are people sitting right around here that if I asked you to come up here, you may be scared to come up here and share, but you could have a testimony that would share what God has done in your life through the most miry time, through the most wretched time. All right, the mystery was revealed. It was due to prayer, seeking God, and faith. Prayer, seeking God, and faith. So, you can keep going. Oh, I didn't even talk about this, did I? He found out the reason. He confronted the problem. He asked for time and prayed with his friends. Let's keep rolling. So the mystery was revealed. And here it is. This is the mystery that was revealed. We just talked about a little bit. Prayer, seeking God, and faith. And then the final thing is, do we? Ready? You got to ask yourself this question. Do we? Let's read this together. Do we pray, seek God, have faith? Very important questions to pose to ourselves. Because it was due to prayer, seeking God, and faith that Daniel did not die, that his friends did not die, that the king said toward the end of this particular passage, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell. How did he fall? Prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering. What? Right? Wait. The king fell down, face down, on the floor, laying before Daniel. That doesn't happen. It does not happen back then ever. The king would never do that. It would never, ever, ever happen. This was so miraculous what happened that the king was blown away, fell face down in front of Daniel in awe, in wonder, confused, amazed. Then the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. I'm going to say this. This was Nebuchadnezzar's moment to turn from his wretched self and turn to God. And guess what? Guess what happened? Look at chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Are you kidding me, Nebuchadnezzar? Do you know what God just did through Daniel? Some of us find ourselves in that boat. We may not be building a big golden god, but we may be so focused on material blessings, so focused on certain relationships, so focused on our family, so focused on whatever it is that's our false god, that we've lost sight of God. Nebuchadnezzar chose to turn away. He had an opportunity. He was laying down on the floor because God did such a miraculous thing. And then he stands up and he gets his pride all back. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to build a massive false god. Although I'm going to call it a god. And I'm going to have people bow down to me and worship this god. And if they don't, they're going to get thrown in the... Well, I'm going to share next week, sorry. I'm getting into next week's sermon. I'm done. But basic summary. Let's flick back to the other. Basic summary. Do we pray, seek God, have faith? Do we pray? Do we seek God? Do we have faith? That's the question. Do we pray? Do we seek God? Do we have faith? Because if we don't, we don't have much hope. And if we don't have much hope, we don't have much peace. And if we don't have much peace, we don't have any joy. And we can pretend happiness is joy, but that's not real joy. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I know about me. And apart from Christ, I can be a wretched person. You're like, no, that's not it. You hear that? Apart from Christ, we can all be wretched people. We are capable of anything. I've had people say to me that I would never do that. I would never do that. I can't believe that person did that. And I say, you're trying to tell me you're not capable of whatever that is? Because I know, sadly, I myself in sin am capable of probably anything. All of us are. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But there's a big but. grace. Grace. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. God's reward at Christ's expense. Grace. No matter what life throws at you, may you and I pray, seek God, and have true faith. Not just something we talk about, but something we talk about and live and love and have passionate about, and that are passionate about it. Let's pray. God, there's some people in here today, Lord, that are really wrestling with everything that was just spoken about. Lord, there's so much to grasp, and the book of Daniel has so much in it. And Father, some of us are trying to figure out who you are. And maybe today is the day that we come to the place where we recognize you as our Lord and our God and our Savior and our Redeemer and our Healer and our coming King. Because Lord, there are some of us sitting here today that have a lot of baggage, that have a lot of wounds, that have a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. There's some of us in here today that have lived our entire life confused and disoriented to the reality of who you are. And Lord God, I ask that you reveal yourself powerfully and mightily to each of us today. So we can, when we go through problems, we can pray and surrender to you, God. If you desire to embrace Christ, I'm going to pray this prayer. You can pray it to yourself. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now as a broken, wounded sinner. I'm not perfect. But I believe this day that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin, that your blood cleansed me. And then your resurrection allows me not to die eternally. Lord God, your work wasn't finished on the cross, but you rose from the grave and conquered death so we don't have to face it. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And God, I ask that you pour out your Spirit upon me in power right now, Lord. Lord, fill me with the presence of your Spirit. May I be a person after your heart. May I be someone committed and devoted to you. May my life this day forward be revolutionarily changed, Lord. May there be this major swing in my life because now I am someone that has repented and I'm going in the opposite direction from where I was. May I be that person this day. Cleanse me, renew me, redeem me, restore me, God. If you prayed to receive Christ just now for the first time, I want you to look up at me for 1 second. Right on. Right on. Amen. Lord, I thank you for those that have looked up, God. I just ask, God, that this won't just be a one-time prayer, God, but it will be one in which there will be revolutionary things that happen in each of their lives. I ask that your Spirit just falls so powerfully upon them, Lord, that they sense your presence and your power upon their lives. And Lord, cleanse them, eradicate all the baggage from the past, all the debris, all the junk, all the guilt, all the pain, all the hurt, all the sorrow, all the anguish, all that stuff, all the pain and hurt that people inflicted on them, Lord. I ask, God, that that junk and debris will flee and they will feel the cleansing and the renewing of your Spirit upon their lives, Lord. And Lord, may they flee from sin and live for you and honor you. And may we all do that, God. Every single person in here, God. May we no longer be satisfied with mediocre Christianity, Lord, because that's just fake and we're going to be spit out of your mouth, Lord. Lord, may we only be satisfied with you. God, pour out your Spirit upon us in power. Lord, allow us to discover your cleansing power. Amen. Amen. Amen.